Welcome and welcome back to our podcast, Gen X and Gen Z in a Dialogue, a podcast about generations, leadership, and communication. In this podcast, different perspectives come together. For one, the experience of Gen X. Please say hello, Dad, so we don't forget you in the intro.
Hi.
The new ways of thinking of Gen Z by me, and of course, the experiences of our guests. Together, we explore how a collaboration across generations really work, not only in organizations, but also in leadership roles and in everyday working life, because it's not about differences, but it's about what we have together in common. Before we dive into today's episode, we'd like to briefly reflect on our last conversation, which was just the two of us, because in that episode, we looked back on all the episodes before, because we like to do kind of a summary for ourselves and just do some reflection and also point out key takeaways for us and important aspects. Today, we're joined by our guest, Jess Melanie. We'll be talking about all the topics already mentioned before, her experiences and her insights, and knowledge in terms of supporting women in leadership and in leadership coaching itself. Jess is a coach for women executives, also a business consultant, leadership coach, and her mission is to elevate leaders worldwide. She also has her own framework through which she wants to help others to improve themselves and their teams. Welcome, Jess, to you. Thank you for joining us today on our podcast. And before we start with the questions, I would just ask you to introduce yourself so that the listeners get to know you a bit better.
Thank you, Rebecca. And it's my pleasure to be here and part of this father-daughter duo to create, what we want to happen in this world is to ensure that we are having these conversations and for young students like yourself to become more visionary, empathetic, and a sharper leader in her own life as well. So I'm very honored and excited to be part of your journey. To introduce myself, you've said a few nice things, but I think of myself as a leader, and I work with leaders who want to elevate their leadership and build that resilience in today's complex AI world to go from getting strategic clarity and moving into looking at how they can create business successes, success for themselves, their teams. And I feel that I am in the right place to do this because I've now got 30 years of global experience working with the United Nations, the World Bank in leadership positions. I've also worked with nonprofit organizations, and I specialize in transforming teams and leaders to take them to the best version, which is what I do as a coach. I customize and design training programs, and I also speak at events. And so that's what gives me a full cohort of how I bring value to the world.
Okay, thank you for introduction. I would just start with the first question to kind of get introduced into the topic. And that would be what your overall view and experience with the different generations has been, not only now when you have a lot of experience, but also when you were younger. So is there anything that stood out to you? Any memories that are still stuck in your brain? Anything that really seems important to mention now?
We are talking about something which has, I feel, a universal, it has been there. Every kid that grew up would always feel that my parents are from a different generation. Agree? Mm-hmm. And so this is a conversation that I remember experiences going through when I was at between my friends and, when we were in the uni. And even when I started working at the workplace, there was a lot of senior executives who I had to interact with. And there were times where I could, clearly see how they have a certain way of being and what it means for me as this young, full of energy, young one who wants to make things work. And then over the years, as I have moved from living in Singapore, in earlier part of my when I was in the workforce, I would observe that there are lots and lots of these clashes of the workforce, philosophies. There were generations or leaders who were getting upset because they saw this younger generations coming in and they think they want to do everything, and then they were very tech savvy, and the older generation would be a little conservative in how they would want to go around things. And this transition period was very, very obvious for me in especially at the workplace. And there were also times when people used to think that, oh, this Gen Z is completely lazy and they have no sense of urgency or anything. But if you brought in a younger generation into your team would benefit from the speed with which they would find a solution and use their technology, and they would really create value add. And so over the years, I kept looking at this. Nothing specific that I can share with you, but I have been very mindful that cultural nuances, gender, space between the way of thinking, it's, I think, a part of our DNA, and it's not something that will stop now. It's just that the more we become aware of it, we would be able to embrace it in a way that we create collaborative, conducive environments for all of us to work together.
I think we've had this before also, where a lot of guests said that we need to kind of combine, the knowledge of the younger generation around technology and social media and everything with the experience and the advice of the older generations. Is that also something that you think should be done more in leadership teams because it benefits everyone?
Absolutely. I mean, in being a leader today is absolutely a time when AI is making things so fast. Okay. And the leaders and everyone has no choice but to embrace it, this faster pace of life. And you may be from any generation, right? But you need to then come into reframing yourself and seeing how can your expertise move with harnessing this cognitive diversity that is there in and different layers of people that you're managing. And I feel that a lot of it can be done through communication, embracing people or firstly, I think leaders need to work on themselves and realize that there has to be a new way of thinking. And yes, there is a lot of value of traditional, doing things in a traditional way, but there is equal amount of value in creating the digital fluency or, becoming socially conscious. That's what new generation wants us to do. And then still be able to harness a conducive environment in which everybody does their part and they move together and create the success for the business.
I have one question, and we both have made the CCMC course, and we both are coaches, which means I have seen that you were also president from the ICF chapter in Singapore, what I have seen on your LinkedIn profile. And one of the key things, the core competences, is active listening. And when I listened to you, and I understood that you were working for the United Nations, you were or you are working for a lot of multinational, multicultural companies. This is my understanding at the moment. And you think of a company which has, I would not say an old-fashioned mindset, but you know that these leaders have really difficulties to adapt this new thinking, this new I would say that this is not a work-life balance. They want to go more in the life-work balance. And you speak to these leaders. What tips or what strategies you have to awake this awareness in them that it is not only that they think about the Gen Z is, we say, lazy, but that they have to change also their mindset. What are the strategies, the tips, the techniques, the programs you have to work with them? Something you can share.
Sure. I am just reminded of watching The Devil Who Wears Prada 2 recently, and that the nuances that they have brought into the movie, which was the previous one, was such a hit 20 years ago, and in this new one, it's like there are some things that the are not allowed by the HR, right? So we like it or not. We are not just dealing with age. Okay, so if we go beyond looking at it, like there's a new generation that's coming into the workforce. I read a research which said that 70% of the new generation that will be in India is of these Gen Zs. And the older baby boomers will be moving out of the workforce, right? And the dynamics of it is that as I'm coaching senior executives who now have to look at all aspects of growing their business through the technological change, the political change, and so many other factors to grow their business, they also need to be mindful of how they can harness and bring this new generation in. And it's not going to happen by command and rule, right? So the traditional leadership maybe have been built on those kind of thought processes. But now, new age leadership or the thinking that's going to come is of co-creation, no longer about, I create the strategy, I create the rules, but incorporating with your team members, hey, this is our thought process. Where do you think you have another point of view? Or do you think we can do some things a little differently? And so that friction will not come if everybody thinks that we have to comply because just because the headquarters or senior management has given us the directive, but it comes from how can we do this together? What are some of the ways that maybe, if I'm the senior leader in the office, I am the general manager of the company, I'm not going and meeting the customers, right? But what could be some things that I can get from the ground level and get inputs into informed, intentional decisions that I can make because of this expansion? Like, I have this, I can incorporate this additional talent that's coming in. So I try to use the words that is, harnessing the diversity.
Okay, I have another question because you also, when you, I think when you introduced yourself, you referred to yourself as a leader. And I was wondering what that really meant for you and how you came to be, a leader. What qualities you have and what qualities do you also think others should have? Is there anything also that you can maybe also give as tips?
Sure. I think my journey, if you allow me to share a bit, was
Yeah,
very
of course.
non-traditional. I got, when you have the in between in time when you are applying for unis, that was when I was about 18, 19 year old, and I took up this internship. And I thought, 2 months I can, earn some money on the side and get onto this job at the United Nations, the World Bank. And I think it was really the best thing that I did for myself. So coming in to work with the world-class economist, I was involved in working with the government sector and key decision makers for the country. And they were making decisions about infrastructure and the what can be done for the benefit of the common people and all. And these were multi-billion-dollar decisions that were being made. And I could see that these are the group of experts who are sitting in, thinking through, and creating the best practices. And while I was pursuing my bachelor's in commerce and statistics and accountancy and everything, so I was getting that theoretical knowledge. But at the same time, I was in a very practical application journey. And then working along with on different projects, I got involved in creating sustainability of the projects. And so my role was working again with leaders when they were investing in multinational or large organizations and helping them build the infrastructures or how the back-end operations works, the strategies. And these were like topmost economists that were flown in from different parts of the world. And my role was to create the space, the support, and in the process, I also was promoted to run my whole division. And in that, I was hiring people who were double my age. So it was like multiple areas of my leadership were developed. And when I reflect back, I realize that hiring people is a very, very important talent for a leader. Learning and understanding operations, learning and understanding how the best strategies, ideas get converted into action. And if I really summarize what I was doing, was working in multiple areas as a leader, learning, applying, creating business results. And if it was not working, tweaking it, making the right choices, working with I was getting mentored by my senior leaders as well as to what I could make as choices. In today's world, compared to why this is so valuable for my journey is when I do talk to leaders, not all, but some of them have got very, very good at certain areas. So let's say they are operational. They will be brilliant in operational, right? Like they are like the go-to person expert. But if you were to bring them out of the box and talk to them about other aspects of the business, it is a big learning. And many times individuals want to be getting promoted, but they don't take the elevated or holistic view of how they can contribute to growing the business. And this is why I'm working on my manuscript now to create a book, which I am introducing as a concept of elevated mindset, where every leader needs to build their core essence. And when I say essence, that's part of my CCMC program as well, where the leaders need to think about their position as that catalyst that's going to create the conducive environment in all areas of the business. And of course, as a CEO, it's easier to do. But even if you are, let's say, a part of a logistics business or any other business, so I have coached a lawyer, and he was involved in a large manufacturing a company. Where he needed to make a lot of, give support on big decisions that were being made around all the commercial aspects of the business. And through the coaching, we realized that he was very good as a lawyer, but the areas of commercial acumen needed to be developed. So, to long short, but to answer your question, I think, in my view, if all leaders start looking at their role as they are the CEO of that domain, and they start working on developing their faculties, they do, start understanding the business from an elevated point of view, they would then be able to perform as leaders. And again, you said that I have been in organizations. So when we have profit organizations, great, people are on your payroll, you can give out a bunch of instructions and learn. I took up the role of the president of the International Coaching Federation Singapore chapter as a leader for a nonprofit organization. Nobody was on my payroll, but I sat down with my board of directors to create the strategy for our growth. You see, the chapter had been in business for 15 years and they had about 200 plus members. And I thought this was not a right gauge of the industry because, there were so many more coaches around me. And so we came out with a strategy to create, growth for the business. And I would, work with my team to develop other areas, which were like, the back end operations, how we were sending out a newsletter and other, parts of the business that we were running. And with the next months, we had a double increase in our membership. And then I started going out and talking to government sectors because, it's good to have coaches and make them learn, but there has to be a marketplace from where they will get the business coming in. And so this aspect of the business started developing, and we got 800 members in the 6 months duration that we worked on, and then we continued to harness it and build it up. And it has been a set example for many other chapters around the globe to take from our experience some of the things that we came up with. And that's why I feel I am a leader because I know what I'm talking about. When leaders come to me and they tell me, oh, my team, I can't, or whatever be their reasons for not being able to, my cultural intelligence has to be developed. We also need to get leaders to develop their communication capabilities, how they are managing their teams. They need to be very, very mindful of how fast technology is bringing changes and stay upstream with that. So I do that. I do that for every day is my big joy for the day is what am I going to learn today? And it can be through a podcast that you guys are presenting, or reading something, and not just reading it, but going through how can I utilize this information, or how can I enrich myself or other people. So I have two lovely daughters, and they're both working. But over the period of time, even they have taught me a whole lot of things through this learning and exchange of ideas. I never imply on them that, I'm the mom, you need to do things in a certain way. We have even developed a system where if we go out for a meal, the three of us, and all of us are working, we go sit. And it may sound really non-traditional, or people may have their opinion. But I think this is a new thing that needs to also come in, is that you give each other an equal place on the table, and you enjoy that collaborative time or things that come in. I think leaders also need to think of how are you bringing in this new younger generation to take a seat at the table?
Do you want to ask a question?
No, I think it was a fantastic answer, and this is what we have experienced also in some of other podcast episodes, that the leaders should start with their own mindset about the new generations. Maybe try to see also the other perspective, try to step in the other shoes. I think this is really something other people were also bringing into our podcast. What tips would you give the new generations when they come into the work environment right now, which means the Gen Zs, the Gen Alpha, which are now really coming into the workplaces. What tips would you give them as a experienced leader also?
Firstly, I think it's really, really challenging for the new generation that's coming into the workforce, right? And I'll agree that the kind of distractions that are there, or things that they have to be involved with, otherwise they will feel FOMO, or they will miss out, is a lot of additional pressure, and it does take a lot of mental preparedness to be able to prioritize your value alignment with your mental health priorities, and doing things in a way that you are still able to create the results. So I really empathize with the new generation that's coming in, and I think best tip would be to respectfully communicate if they see something, and not assume that it's been done to make them feel less or something like that. If they feel that there is something being done, just talk about it in the most respectful way. And I say respectful is that you don't come with an intent that I can't work with you. This is too much. Just bringing it to say that when this happens, I feel the pressure, and maybe they have to reframe as well about accepting all the other generations and the way of thinking, because obviously traditionally people who have made it over the years also have value, right? So it's about how everyone can leverage on each other's strengths and create a very psychological safe space for each other, so that they can learn, they can grow with each other, and not be have courage to have these conversations is what I'm trying to imply here. And the other thing is that the competition, and you don't know how AI is going to make the change around the world. So it also means that you have to gear up. Yes, you want to find time for your, spending time on TikTok and everything, but you also need to keep the learning curve going, because that's what's going to ensure that you can stay in the system, and you don't have to feel the threat of not being employed, because you are creating a value proposition for what you're bringing to the business. Does that make sense for you, Rebecca?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Sometimes I think about, because my dad asked me for help on an assignment with his company that he's working at. And he basically asked me how Gen Z sees the workplaces and, what can be improved from the view of Gen Z. And then I also thought, well, I can't always say, okay, Gen Z is expecting this to be done and this and this. It also needs to be from another point of view. So, what can older generations expect from Gen Z, and what can we as the younger people, adopt, qualities or other things from the older generations? So, I also wanted to ask you if there's something you think younger people can also take away from the older generations, because I feel like it's always kind of not equal. Do you know what I mean?
I think I'm trying to understand what you mean, but if we look at the generation gap, it's not a problem that needs to be solved. It's an asset to be leveraged on with this kind of reframe, So if everybody in the room does not have a blind spot and is open and receptive to embracing from each other, we can move. And it's not just the younger generation is bringing complaints to the table, right? We've established that they are bringing solution, and so is the older generations. But I think one of the things that can be done for you could be that you just learn to ask better questions, investigate, be curious. Where is this coming from? What do you see about this situation that you have this point of view? What can I learn from your sharing? And if this is a communication between both parties, Everybody would be able to humanize the information that's being shared and then create that solution, because AI today can create the business strategy for you. It could do all your assignments, could do everything, but when it'll come to implementation, what will work? It's the human-centric relationships. AI cannot replace the EQ and the relationships, the psychological safety, people wanting to do things together. That connectivity is what will hold the generations to be able to move together. There is a term in African tribe, it's called Ubuntu, which says that how do we move together? Everybody moves together. We don't leave anyone behind.
I think that's a very good answer to my question. Thank you for that.
Okay.
I think it's
Okay.
also very important that, yeah, it's definitely important to learn from each other and not just criticize each other, because I think there's also kind of this mindset that we put people into generations and we give them certain traits, but we also need to kind of see that everybody's different and it's not just, generation against generation, but how can we work together? And I also think that communication needs to improve overall in society and, between friends and family and whatnot. So I think that it's also very important that we just talk to each other, and if there's a problem, you need to talk it out. You can't just ignore it and hope that it goes away. That's not the way. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else you can give us as tips in regards of communication? Do you maybe have strategies how people can communicate better? Because sometimes I also think that some people haven't really learned how to communicate properly. So is there anything that they can try to kind of get into this topic?
Sure. I'm just saying, because I've done a lot of research in the last 2 years about human behavior, needs, and why people behave a certain way. And as I was writing for this book, right? So some of the examples can be that our new generation has a very different environment that they're growing up in and different needs. Traditionally, the older generation had to go through a whole lot of survival or hard times. And so the ability to have understanding of what it could be beyond, like we there are so many of us who've gone through even war zones or things that were like difficult times, right? But now we have to think of like our new generation is has a different kind of challenge. We can't sit and compare that they don't know how to do this, right? So there has to be a way of thinking that our needs and the different generations have different aspirations, different needs. And the more we are becoming cognitively aware of the differences, not just in the shape or size or what we have been talking about, but from a point of view that somebody is making that a decision not because they want to create trouble. And so the communication will completely get diffused to embrace it and say, hey, could I talk to them and see where are they coming from? What is their experience that they have gone through that is making them think in this particular way? And perhaps it would be the best solution, a better solution than what I was thinking of, right? So everybody can develop this patience process, being patient, being able to embrace it. And of course there is pressure for speed. But even in that, if you could just take a pause and say, okay, let's keep building on it. Let's go create. And let's not just feel that we need to leave somebody behind or just because somebody is coming with a different point of view that it has to be discounted. And very politely also saying that, yes, I do hear your point of view, but let me share my understanding of what the need is. And perhaps we are going to agree to disagree, but this is the solution that I would probably propose at this time, because that's the best that I feel is the outcome that we are working towards. So, I'm giving you examples of how leaders and young, all the different generations have to develop this key capability of an understanding, appreciation, valuing each other. And a very, very simple technique is to just get curious.
I think this is a very interesting statement from your end, and we both know that you are a very close friend to José Romero, and
Yes.
we had the chance to have him also in our podcast, and only to the listeners, go into the different options you have, Spotify, Apple, listen to the episode with José Romero, because his I would say main statement overall was lead with curiosity, and that you are now bringing curiosity also into this podcast episode in this session is really fantastic. And I agree, without curiosity we would not be at this place as human beings where we are at the moment. And I would say yes, speed is okay, but sometimes too much speed slow the process, because then you do many things together which doesn't make any sense then, which means the focus, and this is sometimes what I hear also with Gen Z, Gen Alpha, that they need to be more focused because of so many different distractions they have. And it, I think, was a wonderful statement from your side.
Yes, I totally agree that the kind of things that we are talking about is we are sharing from our point of view, but because you're having these different conversations with different people, somehow or the other there will be a emerging pattern, because we are looking to find that solution. But then whoever's listening can apply what works for them, and that is what's going to be the gold that they can harness is what do they think works? What would work in their environment? Because everybody is so different, and you are also have a lot of energy. You also have a lot of thought process, values, and all these other things that make an individual. So take what works for you, and keep taking new things that can also take you to the next level. This is, as we said in the beginning, is not something new that we are facing in the world. It's been there, it'll continue to be there, but if we humanize and work with each other, perhaps take an elevated view, we can make this not a gap anymore.
I think you made a fantastic statement. I would add only one thing from my end to this, because I did the PCC level program also from ICF. I did not the exam, because you know this as an experienced ICF president that you need also the coaching hours to go then to the final exam, the 500 hours. But these supervisors, the mentors I had during this PCC course, they called it golden nuggets. And I think this is exactly what you are saying. For the listeners, listen to the different episodes from the different people from the different places in the world, and put then this two or three golden nuggets which works for them as the person they are. And I think this is our mission also. This is the mission from Rebecca and myself, that we give them a platform to listen to a lot of very experienced people working in this, generation dialogue topic. And if some of these people can learn something, then our mission is made, I think.
And you are doing an amazing job. I am enjoying this conversation, and I'm hoping that with my years of experience and what I share here is going to make a difference to a few people who are listening, and they can enjoy this this journey of being in the workforce, right?
Yep, correct.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think you've already made a difference because we're both here and we're listening to you, and you have a lot of experience, and it is very obvious. And I've written some things down. I think my dad has also written some things down, just so we can also take something away. And so yeah, you've already made a difference. And on my side, I'm done with my questions, and I think you've also given kind of a good summary at the end. And so if you want to say anything as kind of an outro from yourself, go ahead, because other than that, I think I'm just gonna do the outro and then we have the podcast episode.
Thank you, Becca. I am so happy that I was able to add to your and your dad's list. Okay. What I would like to also say as somebody who's listening is that let's just move beyond just trying to find challenges that need to be resolved at work. Work on yourself as a whole person with an elevated mindset. And understanding the nuances of the industry that you're in, the aspects of developing your own skill sets, if you need to build your knowledge, or you need to build an understanding of the systems, or you need to work maybe with some help on overcoming your own set ways or blind spots. And if you work on yourself and continuously improve on your own way of dealing with people, I think the whole world around you will change because you are going to be the catalyst for that change for other people that you will be impacting. And if that's a strong message for the new generation to say, how are you? How are you taking care of yourself?
I think that's a very good summary. Thank you for that. Dad, do you want to add anything?
No, I think this is a fantastic final information for the listeners, and I agree totally to that. Some of the listeners maybe know that 5 years ago I was not a fan of coaching. This is my open and honest opinion. 5 years ago there was a huge change in my life, and since that I see more and more the power of coaching. And start with yourself, because if you start with yourself, and this was Jess was also saying, also the people around you, the environment around you will change. And this is something really fantastic. Final sentence, making each other better.
Yes, very nice.
Okay, perfect. Thank you again for joining us here today. And as always, to our listeners, if you have any remarks, any questions, anything, you can always text us. I always link the email in the podcast description. So, yeah, and then that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you again for being here. And until the next episode, bye.
Bye.